This is Night Call. Speak for yourself by calling 212-749-3311. Our subject tonight, racial violence. Our guest, Stokely Carmichael. Our host, Del Shields.
This is Del Shields in New York, and our telephone number is once again area code 212-749-3311. That's 749-3311. Now, if you're calling from out of town, please call prepaid, and we'll be more than happy to pay for your phone call. Our guest in Washington, D.C. is Mr. Stokely Carmichael. Mr. Carmichael?
Yes, sir.
Prior to the station break, Mrs. Brown from Indiana raised a number of questions, and we wanted to give you a chance to respond. First, the question, or one of the questions she raised, was the fact that she loved black and white people. And I think we need some kind of elaboration on that, because you said you loved black people. The other question I think that she raised, that she didn't feel that at this point that she wanted to go back thousands of years, as you were beginning to enumerate some of the activities that had taken place in reference to the black man becoming the white man's prisoner and being exploited through the years. So the microphone is yours.
Okay, well, let me first start off, because Mrs. Brown raised some biblical questions. I do not think that she studied the Bible. Number one, if she'd look at Acts 7, verse 6 or 7, it says, "These are the men who've come to turn the cities upside down, and the city authorities were afraid." If she has an old Bible, the King James Version, I believe it says something that those who have turned the cities upside down have also come thither here. They ran to the city officials crying. So that she has not read the Bible. If she's read the Bible, she would understand that for everything that's going on today, there can be a biblical interpretation. And in Matthew, there is a saying where Jesus Christ said, "I have come to bring the sword, not the shield. I have come to turn son against father, daughter against mother, nation against nation, for where there's injustice, there shall be no peace." In Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah says, "Your cities are burning because there is injustice in your land, and the Lord will not hear you because your hands are full of blood." Now, I will interpret that to say the United States is on fire, its cities are burning because there's injustice in the land, and the Lord above will not hear the cries of people like Lyndon Baines Johnson because his hands are full of blood. Now, that's biblical. She ought to read the Bible. Now, let us continue. Number two, I asked her whether or not she loved her children. She said yes. I didn't ask her whether she loved all people. I asked her whether or not she loved her children. She said yes. I asked her, if someone were attempting to destroy your child, what would you do? She said, I would get the gun. I then said to her, I love black people. I didn't say I love all people. Like, she didn't say she loved all children. She said she loved her children. I said to her, if someone tries to destroy black people, then I have to get the gun. But now, then she said that I should talk about black and white. If I love black people, I do not have to love white people. I may have no feelings at all for them, but I will not pick up the gun until they attempt to destroy black people. And that's a mistake. She assumes that because I love black people, I must automatically hate white people. Then I could assume that because she loved her children, she automatically hates all other children. So I think her thinking is quite incorrect. Now, I do believe, as far as the situation of the conflict of white and black in this country, it is coming down, because it is nothing but a white-black issue, and that we can stop all the rest of the talk. And that it is proven that the white man has heaped insult upon black people. And we don't have to historically go into slavery, to the lynchings, the depression, segregation, the sit-in movement. We don't have to go into all of that. It's clear. It's black and white. So I'm sorry for the people like Mrs. Brown. I think they ought to understand and face reality and stop trying to hide behind a lot of words. This country was conceived in violence. White people destroyed red people to take this country. They have to pay for that if she believes in the Bible. The sins of one child, of the father, will fall upon the generation to come. That, again, is the Bible. Does she believe only in the Bible when it fits her interpretation?
We'll welcome some more calls. From New Jersey, Mr. Burrell, who is listening to Night Call over radio station WLIB. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Yes, Mr. Carmichael.
He's here, sir.
Yeah. I want to know what your reaction was to the accusations put forth by white America on black power being communistic, backed by communistic forces.
There's no reaction. I will not react to what white people say. I refuse to. And I think that black people in this country should not react to what white people say. If you were walking down the street, brother, and I hollered at you, I said, "Thief, thief, there goes a thief," and I started pointing at you, If you stopped and started to defend yourself and prove that you were not a thief, you were in fact giving validity to my statements. Is that not correct?
Yes.
But if I yell, thief, thief, and you're not a thief, you just look at me and say, you must be crazy, and keep getting up. And if you turn around and they argue with me, then the people around go think you're a thief, or you might be a thief, because they're becoming involved in an argument. When white people accuse us of something, we're not supposed to stop and react. Just look at them if they're crazy and keep getting up.
All right. Thank you, bro.
Thank you for calling, sir. Mr. Berger is listening to Night Call over radio station KSJN in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Hello. Am I on the air now?
Yes, you are, sir.
I would just like to ask one brief question. Now, Mr. Carmichael, you must feel that there are a series of objectives that you want to accomplish for your people, such as better education, more welfare, better social attitudes, removal of intolerance or what have you. I was wondering
all of those things you said should go for white people, I'm afraid.
They should go for all people.
Well, I'm not sure of that. I think black people have been very tolerant, don't you? They've been very tolerant of white people for 400 years. That's an awful lot of tolerance.
Well, I was born and educated in the South, and I can agree with you. Most of the Negroes in the South are more courteous and more respectful than most of the poor and uneducated white people. But I was wondering if you could say you would prefer first more education, then more welfare, and what do you think is the order of importance of these things?
The order of importance is that we want land. Black people must have land. It's very simple. That's what everybody fights for. That's what we're going to fight for, land. L-A-N-D. Land and a nation of our own.
Mm-hmm. And before that, you mentioned that the basic split here is between black and white people. I was wondering whether you didn't think perhaps it was just a split between people who are, you might say, intolerant and people who are more tolerant.
Well, then again, if I go back to what you said you agree with me that black people are tolerant.
Yes.
So it would be against black-white.
Yeah, but then again, it's against other minorities. Isn't this situation true again? Same thing true of Puerto Ricans. That I know in Miami that Negroes are very intolerant of Cubans.
No, well, that's a political question which was maneuvered by white people. When the Cuban refugees came in, most of them, incidentally, were white Cubans, they took all the jobs that black people had.
That's right.
And that is precisely why that has developed. It's not developed, it was not an a priori racism, which happens to be the fact with white people. It was developed because those white Cubans were maneuvered by the Miami government to take the jobs of black people, therefore even black people hungry, and they had to react in that manner.
Right.
But also politically, I think they should react against white Cubans that way.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Carmichael.
Because they're cowards.
Mr. Carmichael.
I agree with them politically, they're cowards.
Mr. Carmichael, you mentioned that the black people want land. Now, where is this land to come from, or who is to give them the land?
Well, you don't give land. I'm afraid you just take it.
Would that be here in America?
I'm afraid that we'll have to fight for the land where we live. Yes, we'll have to fight to take it.
Thank you.
Well, that's all I have right now.
Thank you, Mr. Berger.
Mr. Carmichael.
Very well.
This is Night Call in New York, area code 212-749-3311. We welcome your conversation, your comments, and your ideas. Area code 212-749-3311. Our guest tonight is Mr. Stokely Carmichael, who is in Washington, D.C., and tomorrow night our guest will be Mr. Bayard Rustin. We welcome another call, this time from Great Neck, Long Island, Mr. Levine, who's listening to Night Call over radio station WRVR. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Hello, Mr. Carmichael.
Hello.
I have a question. I would like to know, I agree with your concept of armed self-defense, for example, for the black community. But do you feel that organized guerrilla warfare, for example, would is suicidal and would inevitably produce a genocidal response from the white America?
Now, let us assume that white America has a genocidal response. What is that left for black people to do?
But,
you see, because I'm saying that what you're saying is correct, but I'm saying that the genocidal attitude by white America is already there, has been there. And now black people must respond to that genocidal attitude. Now, then we should disagree on whether or not the genocidal attitude is there before the guerrilla warfare. I don't think we disagree, though, if we want to be real. Do we disagree?
I think the potential is in there, but I think that...
Well, then if the potential is there, anything will activate it to make it a reality. Have you ever taken physics?
Yes.
If there's potential power, all you need is the slightest activation to make it real power. Is that correct?
That's right.
So anything you do is going to activate it, right? So what you're saying is that it is there, and in order for black people not to make it become a reality, they must act the way in such a way so not to tip it, because the slightest tipping is going to make it real. So then, no matter what you do, you're saying we have to act a certain way. And if we act any other way, we're going to get killed. So we're dead anyway.
Can massive, nonviolent dislocation of functionings of the government and the institutions that oppress the community provoke a decent response from the white America?
You should ask Dr. Martin Luther King that question.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you for calling, sir. A Night Call listener who is listening to Night Call in South Bend, Indiana, and listening to Night Call over radio station WSBT, Mr. Donald Fisk. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Yes, sir. I can't hear you very well.
Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Yes, thank you. I'd like to ask Mr. Carmichael a few brief questions.
Right ahead.
First of all, sir, you say you love the black people.
That's correct.
Now, you say that this does not necessarily mean that you have to hate the white people. I agree. I want to ask you, do you hate the white people?
I love my people. Anybody who tries to destroy my people, I hate. I hate.
All right. Now, do you hate all white people categorically, or do you hate the white people who are known to, of course, there is a segment of the white population, obviously.
Okay. If you have...
Who is interested in striking down the colored man. Now, do you hate all white people or just these white people specifically? I'd like some clarification on this.
Okay. If you have children and a lion comes to attack your children, will you hate that lion or be afraid of all lions and hate that lion particularly?
Well, I would, in the first place, have the logic behind me to be suspicious of all lions.
Right on.
And then I would kill the lion which threatened, but I wouldn't go out and kill every lion I saw.
Well, you've answered your question quite logically.
Right, but I want to know if you obtain with my logic.
I obtain with your logic. Therefore, it means I hate all those white people that are trying to destroy my people, and I hold with suspicion all other white people.
Because what I'm getting at is, essentially, this has to eventually come down to a personal level, and I just want to know if you see me, and I'm white, which is nothing more than an accident of genes, do you hate me, or are you suspicious of me? In other words, would you be willing to give me a chance to be friends with you, to get to know you? Would you be willing to give me the chance? As, of course, I think the overwhelming majority of our black people in our country want the white man to give him this chance. Well, I want to know if you, sir, will give this chance.
Okay, let me now answer your question.
Mr. Carmichael,
yes, sir.
Could you hold your answer for just a moment? We have to depart momentarily for station identification.
Very well.
And, sir, hold on to the line. We'll
be
right back.
Very well.
This is Night Call in New York.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest Stokely Carmichael after station identification.
Riverside Radio, WRVR, will broadcast a number of special programs in memory of Senator Robert F. Kennedy tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday. Tomorrow evening at 10:30 on the regular listen program, there will be a rebroadcast of an ecumenical memorial service from Corpus Christi Church. The service is being presented jointly by Union Theological Seminary, Corpus Christi Roman Catholic Church, and the Riverside Church. On Saturday afternoon at 1, the ecumenical memorial service will be repeated. From 2 to 4 Saturday afternoon, there'll be a program of special music. And from 4 to 8 Saturday, a special jazz memorial program with Father Norman J. O'Connor and the Reverend John Gensel. The ecumenical service from Corpus Christi Church will be rebroadcast a third time at 5 o'clock Sunday afternoon. The regular Sunday morning service of worship of the Riverside Church will observe the National Day of Mourning, and that service will be broadcast by WRVR twice, live at 10:45 a.m. and by tape delay at 8 p.m. This is WRVR, New York.
This is Night Call. Speak for yourself by calling 212-749-3311. Our subject tonight, racial violence. Our guest, Stokely Carmichael. Our host, Del Shields.
We're back in New York with Night Call, and our guest in Washington, D.C. is Mr. Stokely Carmichael. Mr. Carmichael, would you like to respond to our listener?
Could you rephrase the two questions, please, so everybody can be brought up to date, including myself?
Would you be kind enough, sir?
Yes. Thank God, while I was waiting there, I forgot what
it was. Well, I know essentially what it was.
Exactly.
Would I give you a chance? Would I, a black man, give you a white man a chance?
Right. Would you give me, in other words, the benefit of the doubt on the initial encounter?
Okay, now let us begin. If we still have all white people in the case of Lyons, is that correct?
Well, okay.
Right.
Sir, I just would like to say your use of ontology, of analogies is very good.
Yes, okay.
But,
thank you.
I
was afraid of the
would
butt.
Prefer that we could, you know, really get away from the Lyons and the children and talk about men and women, because there's a difference between men and Lyons and between men and
You're
children.
Absolutely correct. Okay. Now, let us say that all white people have the potentials of destroying black people, because many white people have maliciously destroyed black people.
Right.
Okay? Therefore, that means since all white people have the potential of destroying black people, I must view all white people with that suspicion.
Right.
Okay?
Now, let me ask you this. Have you personally, again, I'm bringing this down to the basic components, man to man, have you given up hope for the white man and black man to live together?
No, I have
amicably
not.
And accepting each other on equal terms.
I have not given up hope, but what I've done is that since I know that they all have the potential of destroying me, I am prepared for them.
Right. Now, let me ask you another question.
Well,
I'm full
how do you prepare for a lion who's going to devour your children?
Okay, well, now let me ask you another question. Do you, and you mentioned that your people need land. Okay, this is falls right in line with the rest of what I've heard of your, you know, and read about your speeches. Now, do you also mentioned that you would have to fight for the land in order to get it. Is this correct?
I imagine so. I mean, the fights have started. They've
been
skirmishes.
Okay. Now, do you believe that if it boiled down to, if it ever came to a question of out-and-out civil war, black man against white man, do you think that you really seriously think that the black man would stand a chance of survival in this country?
I'll tell you what. I never enter a fight unless I know I'm going to win.
This is intelligent, but it is sometimes cowardly, sir.
Is it?
There is a time to fight when you are so much pressed that you know you will lose, but you want to do as much damage as possible.
Is that what the Vietnamese are doing today in Vietnam?
The North and the South Vietnamese.
Both Vietnamese. It's one country to me.
Well, okay, it is one country. But, I mean, look, like in our country, we know that there is a difference between the North and the South. We know this.
Can you tell a North American from a, can you tell an American who lives in Mississippi from an American who lives in Detroit by looking at him?
No, not by looking at him, but I know this, that statistically.
Okay, let's say this, let's say the North Vietnamese. No, we're getting off the track.
Right, Mr. Fisk.
Because this pertains directly to this.
Sir, I'm sorry. We have some additional calls, and our switchboard is backed up. So if you'll hang up, we'll go on to the next call, and I'm more than certain that Mr. Carmichael will elaborate further.
All right.
Thank you so much for calling, sir. This is Night Call in New York. And from Cleveland, Ohio, from radio station WERV, Mr. Myers is listening to Night Call. Welcome, sir.
Thank you very much. I'd like to ask one question to Mr. Carmichael. He said that he and his people will have to fight for the land they hope to gain. May I ask him who he intends to fight?
I intend to fight those white people who are destroying us right now.
Collectively or individually?
Well, they do it collectively in a manner. For example, the police force collectively destroys us.
So you intend to fight the police force. Any particular one, sir?
Any police force that destroys our people.
Whether it has black people on its staff or white?
Yes.
All right. In other words, you do not see this as a war of racial violence.
Oh, no, no, wait. Let me explain to you. The white people are in control of the police forces.
And you expect the black people will pull out as soon as that you make your move against that police force?
I have to think so, yes. I have to think that black people will align.
Do you know for sure that this is a fact, or are you just assuming it?
Do you know for sure that it is not?
Yes, as a matter of fact. I am acquainted with several colored policemen who seem to feel that you're all wet in many respects.
Well, then
your opinions.
Well, then you have nothing to worry about.
No, I really don't think I do where this particular fight is concerned. And also, you will fight the police force, but I don't believe any members of the police force can be considered great land barons. Who do you plan to take the land from?
You don't think the police force is any land baron?
I don't know of.
All right, let me ask you a question. Who is stopping the Vietnamese from taking land in Vietnam right now?
Nobody. They're taking all the land they like.
Why is that?
Huh? They're only fighting. No, they're fighting an engagement against troops, but we are not attempting to hold land. This was our last policy anyway.
Oh, well, what are you trying to do?
Huh? The North Vietnamese are trying to liberate the southern part. Well, there are not. I agree with you. There are not two Vietnams. There is only one. And Ho Chi Minh is a nationalist, and he merely wants the Geneva Treaty to be enforced and for free elections to come to South Vietnam so he might have a chance to get voted into power if the people of South Vietnam wish it. But he is not. He wishes land reform. He wishes to take the land. His political program, as I understand it, is to take the land from the 10% of the ownership who own it now and distribute it.
Right, and that's precisely what they're
doing. But unfortunately, we don't have 10% land ownership in this country. Unless you want to go to large universities or something like that. But most people are owning their own land either through a bank or individually paid in full, and they don't have the cartel that you seem to feel exists.
Oh, you're saying that a lot of black people own land in the cities?
The people who own land in the cities are the individual barons, but what will the cities gain you?
Oh,
you can't grow. You certainly can't grow any food in a city.
That's true, but you can't carry the industrial work unless you have the cities.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
I would. Where are your factories?
Huh?
Where
are
your factories?
Well, in Cleveland, they're moving out at an alarming rate. That's one of our problems.
Where are they moving to?
To the suburbs.
You think the people in the suburbs are going to tolerate the smoke and the fog and the dirt and the grime and the city workers coming into their communities, or don't you think they'll move out again?
They're moving out again, and the city and the industry will follow them if the city attempts to gobble up those suburbs closest to it.
So then where are the people in the suburbs going to run? They're going to be out of space pretty soon.
Oh, well, we're going to be out of space in about 25 or 30 years. Can you wait that long?
I can't. I'm not going to wait that long.
Mr. Myers?
Good for you.
Mr. Myers, thank you for calling. We have to move on. Thank you very much, sir. From Indiana, Miss Reed is listening to Night Call over radio station WTLT. Welcome to Night Call.
Yes. First, I'd like to speak to Mr. Carmichael.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, Mr. Carmichael, this is Pamela Reed, and I first would like to praise you for coining the phrase Black Power. I think it really typifies pride and a real true belief in the Negro. And secondly, I'd like to ask you some questions about this black power. I believe black power is political and economical achievements for the Negro. And I believe these are the statements that you have made in magazine articles as defining black power, is it not?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, well, this is the question I want to ask you. In your statement, you have said that we, the Negro, want to acquire land. And first, I want to know what Negroes are following you into acquiring this land. And are you truly following the definition of black power when we want to take over this land and take it over by violence?
Okay, in order to have an economic system, you must have some capital, must you not?
Yes, you must.
Okay, now, isn't land the best capital one can have?
Yes, but not by the means that you're going to take it.
Now, we haven't talked about the means yet. I said we'll have to take it. I didn't say the means, did I?
No, you didn't.
All right. Now, do you agree with me we have to take the land?
No, I do not.
We have to get land. Or maybe you don't like the verb take. Let's say we have to get land. Or we have to get capital.
Well, not by the definition of black power. Not, by the way, from reading your different comments and from following, I would say, your career, so to speak, from when you were a mild extremist to the extreme that you are now. I deeply admire you, and I have, but I will say that you were...
Please don't call me an extremist.
I was termed as extremist because I come from a very conservative black community. I come from Indianapolis.
But we have an extreme situation, therefore I'm not an extremist, as Brother Malcolm would say.
Well, I'm just terming it in the way that I see it being more of a conservative Negro. But as I see it, and as many of the black citizens see it, as we have defined black power, and I do believe in black power, even though the word black does scare a few of the white citizens, and it does scare a few Negroes, we see it as being a political advantage, a political power, an economical power, a power self-help through the Negro of achieving something within the world that he is already in.
Ms. Reed?
Not by trying to achieve another world, not by setting himself apart, not by setting himself apart in a, by separating himself from a world that he has to exist in. From hearing your comments tonight, I first agreed with you, and then you got to a point with your analogies and such that you were saying, well, no, the Negro cannot exist unless he builds his own set unit away from everything and says, all right, we're going to make it on our own, which is totally impossible.
Ms. Reed,
it's like telling America that
Ms. Reed, we're going to ask Mr. Carmichael if he will answer you in his final summation because time is rapidly running out.
Oh,
all right?
I'm sorry. I'm very
Thank you so very much for calling.
Good night, Ms. Reed.
Mr. Carmichael, as you're preparing to answer Ms. Reed, we're going to give you a few seconds because we'd like to also throw in one question along with that. What's next for Mr. Carmichael and the Schnick Organization?
Should I begin now?
I said, what is next for Mr. Carmichael? Where you go from here? And where do we go with Schnick?
Okay, Miss Reed, let me answer Miss Reed's question first. Do I have time?
Yes, about 30 seconds.
Miss Reed, one cannot build one's economic system on one has one's own capital. The only capital that one can depend upon is land, because it's always there. It never changes. Money fluctuates. Gold systems, as we've seen in France and England, and as we will see in the United States, can fluctuate. Money is not as good as land. And if black people are talking about black power being an economic system, then you must have that land, which you are not dependent upon anyone for. If black people got into the system, the white economic system today, we would still be dependent upon white people. That's a fact. We would still be dependent. If we talk about our own economy, then we must begin to have our own economy where we can begin to bargain on equal footing.
Mr. Carmichael, time has run out on us. We thank you very much for being with us this evening. And we've enjoyed all of the phone calls, and I'm more than certain that the many light call listeners across the nation had a chance to hear you firsthand, and I think you clarified many of the issues.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for being with us. This is Night Call in New York.
Night Call, the new nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tomorrow night, same time, same station. Bayard Rustin, organizer of the 1963 March on Washington. Organizer of this year's June 19th Poor People's Demonstration in Washington. Listen tomorrow night. Discuss freely and responsibly your own personal opinions. Speak for yourself on Night Call. Produced by the United Methodist Church, presented with the National Council of Churches, National Catholic Office for Radio and Television, and National Urban Coalition.